priests, the Levites, the elders, they were the ones who had control of the temple. They were the ones who had the authority. They were the ones who established the days according to the calendar, according to the calculation for counting to Pentecost, because they were in charge. And it really didn't matter what the Pharisees thought. And the writings of the Pharisees 200 years after Jesus in the Talmud or the Gemara or in any of the Mishnahs that the Jews have cannot be trusted at all to be trustworthy. Even Josephus cannot be trusted, because the greatest event, the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh, has been totally ignored by them. Jesus said that they were of their father, the devil, and he lies. And that's exactly what the Jews have done in their histories. They have lied to make it look as though Jesus never came, because they rejected him. And all of the chief priests and the scribes and the Sadducees at the temple area were destroyed. When the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, and so you have no one of the priests that survived, you have no one of the Sadducees that survived to refute any of the things that the surviving Pharisees wrote centuries later. So Judas Iscariot went to the chief priest, and he said, "What will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you?" And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Okay? Now, chapter 26, let's go clear on down to verse 47. Verse 47. "And while he yet spoke, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people." So he was given authority by them. They were the ones who were in charge. Now, verse 57. Verse 57. And this is after Jesus was arrested. Let's go back. Verse 57. "And when they laid hold on Jesus, they led him away to Simon the Pharisee." No. I just add that in there for effect. They led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered. Now you find all the way through this that the Pharisees had little or no authority at all, or little effect of the things done at the temple. So their way of counting Pentecost, unless it fell automatically the way that the priests and the Sadducees counted Pentecost, was not accepted. It was just by coincidence that it happened that way. And as we saw, 3 out of 10 years, it happens that way. So the chief priest and the elders. Now let's come down to verse 59. "Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witnesses that they might put him to death." Okay, let's go to verse 62. Verse 62, "And the high priest arose and said, Are you going to answer nothing? What is which these witnesses have spoken against you? Jesus held his peace, and the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. And he said to them, You have said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. And the high priest rent his clothes, and he says, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? We have now heard his blasphemy. What do you think? And they answered and said, He is guilty of death. So who put Jesus to death? The chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. Not the Pharisees. Nowhere in any of these councils do we find that the Pharisees were sitting there in the council, which tells us that it doesn't mean they are less guilty. of the blood of Jesus Christ. It tells us they had no authority at the temple. They had no authority to carry out these laws. Now let's go to chapter 27 and see that. Chapter 27 and verse 1. And when morning was come, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. So there you have it. All the chief priests and the elders, they took counsel to put him to death. So then he was led away. They delivered him bound over to Pontius Pilate. Then Judas came and betrayed, cast the money down into the temple in verse 6. And the chief priests took the money and said, it's not lawful. So they held another council. They said, we will buy which was called a field of blood unto that day. Now, when he is brought before Pilate, and we find in verse 12, and when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he said nothing. Then Pilate said to him, now don't you hear how many things they witness against you? So again, it was the chief priest and the elders. You see how absolutely overwhelming the evidence is concerning who was in charge of the temple. Let's continue on. We'll do our survey through the rest of Matthew 27 and get on into some of the book of Acts, and then we will see what the Jewish authorities now tell us exactly what it was on the day when the Sadducees had counted Pentecost. Okay? Now, let's come down to verse 47. No, we're at Matthew 27 now. I beg your pardon. Verse 20. But when the chief priest and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. So it was the chief priest and the elders again. That's why it's emphasized here. So you see, whenever you get a doctrinal paper saying, oh, brethren, I have some brand new truth that you need to examine and we need to do this or that or the other thing, don't believe it. Check it out in the Bible to make sure whether that is true or not. Okay? Well, let's go clear to verse 62. Clear to verse 62. After Jesus was already crucified, dead, and in the tomb, then we find the Pharisees coming around and wanting to help cover the bases themselves. Verse 62. Now the next day, the day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together to Pilate. So you see, the Pharisees came in after the fact. They didn't have the authority, but they probably came to the chief priests and said, look, what are we going to do out here in the synagogues? Because we have to go out in the countryside where all the synagogues are. Now we need you to help cover the base for us. So they got together and worked out their little treachery there. Now let's go to the book of Acts. Let's go to the book of Acts. Okay, Acts the second chapter. Now we find here in Acts the second chapter and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. I need to cover two things right here. Number one, in the Greek it means, and during the accomplishing of the 50th day. Because that's what Pentecost means. It means 50th. The verb form is to count 50. The noun form is 50th. So this is, and on the 50th day, or Pentecost, they were all with one accord in one place. And you know how what happened then, the giving of the Holy Spirit. We won't go through all of that. Let's come here to chapter 3. And we'll just review it. We'll just survey it. You know how that Peter and John healed the man who was lying there at the gate beautiful. He looked to him for alms, and Peter looked upon him and said, silver and gold have you none? I have none to give you, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. And he arose, he walked, and everyone was all excited. And then he preached how they have to repent. Now when we come to chapter 4 and verse 1, and as he spoke unto the people, the priest and the captains, or the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in the hold. That is, put them in prison. Okay? And it came to pass, verse 5, it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers, the elders and the scribes, and Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem again. Who do we find? We find the priests, we find the rulers, we find the elders, and as we will see, the Sadducees. They were the ones who were at the temple and controlled it. Okay, now this becomes important. And the reason it becomes important is because we have in chapter 2 the day of Pentecost, which then, in the context, will inherently tell us which day this Pentecost was kept on, so that we might know which is the proper day for keeping Pentecost. Because we can't believe what the Pharisees have said later, who now are the rabbis of today, their successors. So then we know what Peter did. He gave them a sermon and said that you can't be saved by any other than the name of Jesus Christ. Now when we come to, they were let go. They came back. They prayed with all the disciples. Chapter 5, great miracles were done. And let's come down to verse 17 of chapter 5. Verse 17 of chapter 5. Then, because the disciples were doing all of these teachings, there were multitudes going after the disciples, following Jesus Christ, right there at the temple. They had to stop this thing at the temple, right in the heart and core, the center of Judea, the heart and core, the center of Judaism, right there at the temple with all the sacrifices and everything going on. Here, this was flourishing. Miracles were being done. People were being healed. Tremendous things were happening because they were believing in Jesus. So Acts 5 and verse 17. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation. They laid hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. And so then you go through and you read the account. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning. The high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all this, the senate of the children of Israel. Now all the senate is a greater council. All the senate of the children of Israel then included the priests, the elders, the scribes, the Sadducees, and as we will see by this council, some Pharisees, and one very important Pharisee who is called Gamaliel, who was the teacher of Paul. Okay? So they went to get him out of the prison. They said, look, they're not there in the prison, but they're out there teaching. How did they get out? So they went out and arrested them, and they brought them before them, and they said in verse 27, and when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them. Now notice again, the high priest. Not the Pharisee, but the high priest. Saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him God has exalted with the right hand to be a prince and savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. Now here's the whole council of all of the important people in Judea and Galilee were gathered there for this council, what to do about the teaching of Jesus and the apostles and what they were doing. So truly they did turn the world upside down. And they said, And we are as witnesses of these things, so is also the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them that obey him. And when they heard this, they were cut to heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood up there one in their council. One. Okay? It doesn't say, and the Pharisees gathered together to give counsel. It said there stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. So then he said, listen, take heed. If this is of God, you can't stop it, and we shouldn't be fighting God. If it's not of God, it will die of its own accord, as other rebellions have done. And so then they had a little peace and rest for a while. Let's go to chapter 7. Come to chapter 7. No, chapter 6. We need to stop by chapter 6 here for just a little bit. Verse 7. And the word of God increased, the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. So now there were really inroads going on. So then Stephen was preaching. He was arrested. He was taken before the council. He preached to them. The whole council there then rose up, went out, and stoned Stephen, gnashed their teeth on him, and were totally and absolutely angry at him for what he did in convicting them. Now, let's come down here to verse 58 of chapter 7. And they cast him out of the city, stoned him, and witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, who later was called Paul, as we know. And they stoned Stephen, who, calling upon God, saying, Lord, receive my spirit, he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now, chapter 8 and verse 1, Saul was consenting with his death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. So they really put the heat on them. Now, let's come to chapter 9. Let's come to chapter 9, because this becomes very important. Saul, who, after he was called Paul. He was persecuting the church. He was a Pharisee, as we saw. But who did he have to go to receive his authority to do the things that he did? Chapter 9 is very revealing. Verse 1, Acts the 9th chapter. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest. Now, Paul did not go to the council of the Pharisees. Paul did not go to the council of the rabbis. Paul went to the high priest, who was a Sadducee, because the high priest was the one who was in charge and had authority. He went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, so he could take that authoritative letter from the high priest, which would what? That if he found any of this way, whether they were of men or women, that he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So then you know the rest of the story, what happened to the Apostle Paul. So let's come to the sum of the matter that we have just covered. The chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were the ones who were in charge at the temple. They were the ones who established and controlled the things concerning the way the temple worship was handled, and in particularly the way for counting Pentecost. Now I want to read to you from some quotes from the Jewish Encyclopedia. Encyclopedia Judaica says, quote, the Sadducees and later the Karaites understood the term Sabbath, as we find in Leviticus 23, from the morrow after the Sabbath, which then in Hebrew is pronounced Mi Makarat Ha Shabbat, okay, to be the regular weekly Sabbath during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's the way that the priests and the Sadducees counted Pentecost. That is the way that Pentecost was counted the year that Jesus was crucified. That is the way that Pentecost was counted all the way down until the near destruction of the temple in 70 AD. Josephus gives the account that in about 66 AD, the Pharisees began to be greater in number in the councils than were the chief priests and the scribes. And of course, at that time then, it's way past the time to establish doctrine for the church today. The Sadducees, and later the Karaites, understood the term Sabbath in these verses, that is Leviticus 23, literally, hence, from then, Shavuot, which is Pentecost, always falls on a Sunday. Now, the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia says, the Torah provides that the 7 weeks up to Shavuot, or Pentecost, be counted from the morrow after the rest day. And that rest day is HaShabbat, then which is the Sabbath. It is not the high day, nor the first day, but the Sabbath. Okay, the Sabbath of the Passover festival. The interpretation of this Passover became one of the outstanding points at issue between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But you see, we just saw, as long as the temple stood, the Pharisees did not have that much impact or input as to what really was going on. According to the Pharisaic point of view, supported by the Septuagint, and later universally accepted in the Talmud, the Sabbath in question was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or the first day of Passover. Hence, Pentecost would always fall 50 days later on the 6th of Sivan. The Sadducees, however, and later Karaites, supported by the Samaritans, took the word to mean literally the Sabbath after the beginning of the Passover festival, and thus Pentecost would always fall on a Sunday and might vary in the numbered date of the month from the 7th to the 13th of Sivan. The Pharisee way of the Sadduceical way of reckoning Pentecost is referred to the old biblical view, because they went by what was in Leviticus 23. They, the Sadducees, contended that the 7 weeks from the first barley sheaf offering to Pentecost should, according to Leviticus 23, 15 and 16, be counted from the day after the Sabbath, and consequently that Pentecost should always be celebrated on the first day of the week, which is what we do today. And the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia says the same thing. It is clear that the power and privilege of the vested interests played a much larger part in the life of the Sadducees than in the other section of the nation. In one way or another, they held control of the temple, and unless in the last few years of its existence, the services, this would include the day determining the wave sheaf offering to count to Pentecost, thereby determining Pentecost, were conducted in accordance with their views. So closely were they associated with the temple, that is, the Sadducees and the priests, that after its destruction in 70 AD, the Sadducees as a group or party are no more heard of. So therefore, we have no authentic writings to establish in a counter view to the Pharisaic way what the Sadducees did other than what we have recorded here. So we go to the words of the Bible, we go to the New Testament to find the recorded history that was given to us by those who wrote the New Testament to show us who was in charge at the temple. So this proves beyond any shadow of doubt that once you have established that those in charge of the temple, the priests and the Sadducees, were the ones who were in control, then however Pentecost was counted by them is how Pentecost should be counted by us. It depends not on their righteousness. It depends not upon their sins. but it depends upon what the Bible says, and that's what we have done. So we should count Pentecost in the way that we understand it now and should continue to do so. So let's not let anyone come around and give us some Judaizing to turn you away from the words and the clear scriptures of God.